I'm Paul Rauschenbusch, executive religion editor at the Huffington Post, filling in this week for Welton Gaddy. If you take just a few minutes to read the comments section at Huffington Post Religion, or for that matter, on the State of Belief Facebook page, you'll quickly see just how difficult it is to please everybody. And sometimes it feels like anybody when covering the volatile subject of religion today. Nonetheless, this is a vitally important conversation, and the imperative to address it in a responsible way is only heightened by the fact that all too often, the religious convictions of some deeply impact the secular environment inhabited by all. Recently, HuffPost Religion took on the challenging task of presenting what it means to be Muslim in America, a comprehensive, interactive project that is, we believe, as important as it is potentially provocative. Joining me in the studio is HuffPost Religion's associate editor, Antonia Bloomberg, who did so much to bring this idea to fruition, as well as HuffPost senior reporter, Javed Kalim. Antonia and Javed, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Antonia, tell me about this project. How did you come up with it? I think it was something that kind of was brainstormed after an edit meeting.
It was, yeah. It was a topic that was really important to me, just, you know, covering this news day in, day out. But then going to an edit meeting shortly after the Chapel Hill shootings, seeing the response from other editors in the newsroom who don't cover religion every day and who just had a lot of questions. You know, they were really curious, and I think it sparked something in them. So we had about a 30-minute long brainstorm, and we came away with more questions and inspiration and thought, you know, there's a series here. We could really do something large scale.
There's a narrative that's going on about Islam in America that in sometimes just misses the Muslim voice speaking for themselves without any sort of filter.
Yeah, definitely. And that was the aim of the series, was to, you know, try to reach as many different types of Muslim Americans as we could and really just like provide a space for them to share their stories.
And it was done in this really cool way, I have to say. I mean, the whole newsroom was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Explain a little bit about the collaboration with Emily, who really was a big part of this series.
Emily Cassie, who does video at HuffPost, she had an idea to create a multimedia project with 9 different stories from Muslim Americans from, you know, different walks of life, highlighting different stories from their lives that just depict in their own minds what it means to be Muslim in America. And then she got 9 different animators to animate their stories. And so what we had was this just really visually stunning piece, you know, with a lot of color and a lot of movement. It showed a lot of range in these people's personalities and in their life experiences. One of the stories that I loved the most that broke a bunch of different stereotypes for me was this imam who asked if he could pray in an airport. And he goes up to a security guard and says, excuse me, sir, can I pray in that corner? And you're sort of expecting this security guard to say, like, you know, something Islamophobic. And he says, well, of course you can. You don't need my permission to pray anywhere. It's America.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think part of the objectives in some ways was to show the breadth of experience, but it was also like to show some of the pain, because there were also really painful stories.
Yeah, that was probably the most positive of the stories. You know, there was one about a woman who's with her children who are Girl Scouts, and they're selling Girl Scout cookies outside a supermarket, and someone comes up and starts yelling slurs at them, and it's like, these are children, you know, and they're Girl Scouts. What's more American than that? There's a lot of ignorance and fear. And so, you know, that's what the hope was with the series, is just to say, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of, and educate yourself.
Javed Kalim, I want to bring you in here. You are a senior religion reporter at the Huffington Post and truly one of the most gifted in America. We're so proud and fortunate to have you. What was your perception of this week?
It was Muslims telling their own stories, and they weren't stories that were based on the news. They didn't have to be about any news event happening. They were just stories about everyday life. Often coverage of Islam comes as a reaction to the news, or you know, as an analysis of there's terrorism, and then what about the Muslims? What are they saying? But these were just stories about Muslims doing what they do.
Did you have a favorite, I mean, from the week? Or was there a story that you were like, oh, that's such a – it inspires me as someone who grew up in a Muslim family and, you know, is a Muslim. Was there – you know, I mean, it must have been perhaps personally gratifying.
I loved hearing people's voices. We had these 9 animated short videos that were 30 seconds each. Emily Cassie, who did the video production and organized all of that, she interviewed 9 people from different walks of life. And then she helped them write scripts to summarize 30 seconds that showed a small snippet of what their lives are like. And then you got to watch these in, you know, not actual photo or video form, but animated form.
Which made them more captivating somehow.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just hearing the different voices. They all just sound so different, the people in the animations. And as a reporter, it's nice to write stories about Islam, about religion, but I'm often translating. I'm trying to convey somebody else's voice or using a quote in print, and it's not the same as hearing them.
Yeah. My guests today are my colleagues from HuffPost Religion, Antonia Bloomberg and Javed Kalim. So, Javed, talk to me a little bit about what it means to be a religion reporter writ large, how you honor your subjects when you approach religion reporting.
It's a big topic. I often say to people, you look at sports reporting and you have a reporter for every kind of sports and every level of sport. Religion, you may have one for all religions, or in our case, 4. But 4 is still a small group to handle all religion. So I think it's really important, and what I try to remind myself with every article, everything I do, is to just convey as specifically as possible individual people's stories. I can't say any one Muslim represents any other Muslim. And same with Christianity or other faiths. I try to be as specific as possible. That way, you avoid painting with a broad brush. You avoid controversy, because there's always controversy about what a religion really says or really is, or the different factions. And I try to just tell people's individual stories.
What about this phenomenon? I want to ask both you about this. Actually, the news that does the best is negative. I mean, we all have seen that. Like, is that true ultimately? I mean, what we're trying to do at HuffPost Religion is lift up compelling stories that people want to read, that people want to share, and people want to be a part of, that actually are positive. But the truth is that a lot of times the stuff that clicks is like, this bad person who was religious did this bad thing. How do you think news organizations should cover religion? And is there a way that you feel like you specifically approach a story to avoid that?
I feel like we're in a really unique place, because most outlets, when they cover religion, they cover the bad stuff only, and that's only when they touch religion. So we're very proactive, and we try the reverse or the opposite. We try to cover the good stuff, because that is the majority of what's happening in religion, and that's what's often not being covered elsewhere.
Right. I mean, Antony, you have written a couple pieces. Yesterday, you wrote a great piece about this environmental institute in southern Israel that brings together Muslims, Jews, and Christians to deal with issues of water. And today, you published a story about the United Methodist Church, who gave $9 million to eradicate malaria. I mean, it's kind of great to write those stories.
Yeah, and I think specifically, like, those two pieces, they're about issues, the environment, malaria, you know, things that aren't religion topics. You know, they're topics that I think most people can get behind, most people can understand. And then you see people who are religious or for whom faith is an important part of their life coming together and doing work on these initiatives. And I think it just, for me, it just helps show, like, religion isn't this big, scary, weird thing. You know, it's something that's just very real. It's a part of people's lives, and it can motivate them to do remarkable things. And that should be inspiring, hopefully.
Yeah. One of the things that is perhaps unique about what we do is that when I started HuffPost Religion, I was really intentional that this was going to be a place where there would be a critical gaze, but that it would essentially be somewhere where good religion is celebrated and where people could come and get resources, and that it was pro-pluralism, that we basically promoted this idea of interfaith coexistence. That was one of the reasons, I think, Antonia, you were attracted to work with HuffPost Religion.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, sort of like Javed was saying, you know, the people on HuffPost Religion team, we are people who have been touched in our own ways by religion. We're not out to crucify anyone or any faith. You know, we're here
so to speak.
Right, exactly. we're here to you know, to lift up the voices, like with the Muslim Life series. You know, it's
and what's so interesting about that? That's not your tradition. You know,
right.
So it's not like you're trying to like promote, you know, one tradition over another tradition. We're really, you know, I thought what was really touching about that Muslim Life piece was here you had a Jewish woman and yourself who identify with many things, but I think in some ways pagan aspects, and you're working together to share the stories of Muslims. And I think that's a powerful story in itself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's we lift up the best of the best, I think, regardless of what faith that is.
But unfortunately, a lot of people think of religion, they think of politics, they think of tensions. And you know, we think of just what happened, you know, with the Indiana, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. How do you feel overall that the media deals with those stories?
People have a really bad impression of religion. I think especially when you talk to some younger people, and younger people tend to be less religious too. And for good reason they have a bad impression, because they've seen all these bad things that have been in the news and that have been related to religion. So, you know, going back to the earlier conversation about what people look at online, what they share, I think if we can show those good stories, people, you know, they're not news to us sometimes that Methodists are donating millions of dollars to fight malaria. Sometimes to us, we're saying, oh, of course they are. But to people who don't know a lot about the good things religious people are doing, they look at that and they say, wow, let me spread that around.
Well,
I didn't know that.
Even in the context of the Indiana story, one of the major religious denominations decided to yank their conference from Indiana out of protest of this possibly discriminatory act. It was a story about religious people, many of whom are pro-LGBT and pro-gay marriage. And yet I think that sometimes can get lost in the wider narrative about religion that comes across in mainstream media.
I was just going to add, with the Muslim Life series, almost everyone that I talked to said Muslims are portrayed horribly in the media. And I thought, well, we don't do that, or we try really hard not to do that. And it's just so sad to me that more places aren't trying to shift that narrative. But I also think that the media, as like a, you know, a large body, learns from one another. You know, we're all looking at what the other outlets are doing. So my hope is with that series and with everything that we do is that maybe we'll have copycat solutions, you know, and we can sort of change people's appetites too.
Well, it's challenging and immensely rewarding work, and I have enjoyed exploring this with you. And thank you so much, Antonia Bloomberg and Javed Kalim, for joining me today. For all of you listening, I encourage you to take a look at the project, What It Means to Be Muslim in America, and you'll find a link at stateofbelief.com. Antonia, Javed Kalim, thank you for joining me on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks.